The text is the Gospel reading from St. Mark. Jesus says, "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Here ends the text. We're at the end of the church year. We're counting it down like Casey Kasem. 3, 2, 1. In our text for this second last Sunday in the church year, a particular pronoun is important. Actually, since Jesus says elsewhere that every jot and tittle of his word remains, not just every pronoun is important, but every dot of an I and every cross of a T. But you know how it is with pronouns. Rightly connecting who or what a pronoun refers to is important for correctly understanding what you're reading. It is a frightening pronoun, or it can be. Stephen King, known as a master of horror stories, has one that stands out among them all, among all that terror. It's titled, simply, It. I never read that one, but I can tell you that frequently in his novels, there's a dramatic turn when the people fighting the terror individually or collectively realize that what is preying on them is not a he or a she, but an it. Even in everyday speech, we recognize that it is an unidentified thing, an indefinable thing. It is a beast thing. It is a frightening thing. A big dog chasing you is one thing, but an it is far worse. Lower forms of life are its. Dogs are he's and she's. Fish, snakes, spiders, and roaches are its. The insert translates it at an important point. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Now, the word can be translated right there as it. About 16 of the 27 English translations I checked have it. Using that translation, what do we have? Jesus says, you know, which is a simple indicative, a simple statement of fact. You do know it is right at the door when you see these things happening. So I will know that it is here when I see something happening. Well, what things? You go back to where Jesus began this Bible class last week. When you see wars and hear rumors of war, when you see earthquakes in various places, when you see love in the family growing cold, you know it is at the door. But Jesus speaks of other signs here, signs that every one of you have seen. You've seen the sun darkened by the moon and not giving its light in eclipses. You've seen shooting stars all your life. But did you know that a star falling from the sky told you it is near? Right at the door? What about the heavenly bodies being shaken? NIV, our insert, is the only one that has heavenly bodies. All the rest I checked have, as it actually says, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I'd point you to the Halloween asteroid that was suddenly there. I'd point you to the comet that has water. I'd point you to the supermoons. I would point you to all those phenomena involving space objects that Genesis 1:14 says God placed there not only for seasons, days, and years, but for signs. Yes, they are for signs that it is near, that it is at the very door. Yet we are blind or have been blinded to these signs. Ever since Edmund Halley of Halley Comet fame made us so in the 17th century, he said, "Now we know the sharply veering ways of comets, once a source of dread, no longer do we quail beneath appearances of bearded stars. Contrast this with Luther, who, when he saw an eclipse, said that it was a warning to repent. Contrast this dismissal of signs in the heavens with the fact that it's obvious from archaeological evidence that ancient civilizations expected something from the sky and they feared it. It doesn't matter what they expected. What is the it that Jesus tells us is at our door? See it in the Old Testament reading. The court was seated and the books were opened. Here, large ledgers thump open, containing everything you ever said, did, or thought. For you digital people, written records might not mean much. So instead, see a high-def record of your outer life, your inner life, and your secret life start to play. You talk a good game now, fueled by your doubts about a day of judgment and your no-fear attitude. But while in the choir of life, it's easy to fake the words. Someday each of us will sing solo before God. Yes, one day everyone stands before the bar of divine justice. Someone once said, my great fear is that I'll be standing behind Mother Teresa in the final judgment line, and I'll hear God say to her, you know, you should have done more. That's from a joke book, but the joke's on us. There's nothing more that Mother Teresa could have done that would have made her able to stand before God's judgment throne. The opened books will condemn even her thoughts, her words, and her deeds as sinful, fallen, worthy of judgment and punishment in this life and in the next. Pitiless, merciless, boundless judgment. That is the it that is at the door. Right at the door. Please, don't let it in. The it in the text can also be rightly translated he. When you see these things happening, you know that he is near, right at the door. Translate it when you want to preach the law. But that is an alien translation, just as law is God's alien work. The proper work of God is redeeming, forgiving, saving. The proper translation, therefore, the main one, is he. It fits with Jesus' own words in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. When you see eclipses, shooting stars, comets, supermoons, and rogue asteroids, all of these are preaching, he is near. He is at the very door. Who is the he? The Son of Man, the Redeemer, Savior, Shepherd, Friend is near, right at that door, and he comes to gather the elect. Just as judgment is complete, so is the gathering. See how Jesus emphasizes that he will send his angels to every nook and cranny of the earth to gather every last one of the elect. No one will be lost. Not one will be missed. Not one misplaced when he comes through that door. And not even this unbelieving generation that has existed since Cain and will exist till the end, not even the unbelieving generation that has persecuted all that belonged to Christ is going to stop him. After over 150 years of teaching children that they are but high-functioning animals, after over 40 years of being able to kill unborn babies if a mother felt like it, after 30 years of denying God's institution of marriage, after months of denying the created order of male and female, the unbelieving generation yet have nothing won except the right to sure, certain, and swift judgment when he steps through the door. Jesus isn't a Santa who passes by those who don't believe in him. He's not the great pumpkin who won't come unless you're sincere enough. Not all the unbelief of all the generations that have ever lived can stop Jesus from opening the door between this temporary realm and the eternal one. But his condemning of this generation of unbelief is not the main reason he is coming. He's coming to pick up them that are his. He came into the world to bear the guilt, shame, and pain of all, even the Cains of this world. He bought and paid for the bodies and souls of even those who deny him. So says 2 Peter 2:1. He came to keep the law in place of the Hitlers, the Pol Pots, and the Bin Ladens, and more. He kept the law for everyone conceived by woman. And then, though not guilty himself, he suffered the judgment, the pain, the damnation, and death that we all deserve. Yes, before he comes through the door as judge, he came through it as Savior. How do I know that? Because his word tells me. After pointing us to all the things coming undone, all the things that aren't going to last, he points us to his word that will never pass away. A question that's bothering many of you is, since he comes to gather the elect, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? Well, don't look to your deeds for proof. Isaiah 64 says even your good deeds are nothing but dirty rags. Don't look to the faith in your heart either. Mustard seeds are impossible to find in the midst of seeds of doubt, unbelief, and misbelief. And please don't look for a feeling of being elected for salvation. If you find one, I guarantee you that it's only a matter of time before you find the feeling that you're not elected. Where does he who is near, he who's right at the door, point you? To his words. His words that baptize into you the triune God, they never pass away. His words that absolve you of your sins today remain valid beyond heaven and earth passing away. His words giving you his body for bread and his blood for wine will feed you till you want no more and then some more. Look for your election in the words of Jesus that endure forever. And what do those words tell you? What have those words always told you? He is near. Your fears are near. Your doubts are near. Your worries are near. Your sicknesses, your sadnesses, and your deathliness are very near the door too. But he, your Savior, friend, Redeemer, Forgiver, is as close to you as that Bible of yours. In it, he assures you that you are the elect. He has you in his hand and nothing can snatch you away from him, he says. Jesus is as near as the waters of your baptism, where Paul says Christ was put upon you. Put water on your skin. Do you see any gap there? That's how near, that's how tightly salvation is attached to you. He is as near as his body and blood that you eat and drink for salvation. Show me a distinction between you and what you've eaten and drank. Jesus says in words that last forever that he is near, right at the door. Well, let him in. Isn't that what you pray every day when you say, "Come, Lord Jesus"? Isn't that what you pray every day when you say, "Thy kingdom come"? Isn't that what you pray every Sunday in the liturgy when you chant, "Blessed is he that cometh," not will come, but comes in the name of the Lord? Isn't that what you chant? Isn't that what you say when you chant, "My eyes have seen thy salvation"? Aren't you confessing that he has come in flesh and blood to you, even as he did to the aged Simeon holding Jesus in his arms? It isn't coming for you. It isn't after you. He is coming for you. He is after you. Ever been in a dark house and startled by a noise? You go looking as the tension mounts. What do you say when you come face to face with your loved one? Oh, it is you. When the it turns out to be a person who loves you, the whole situation gets better instantly. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.